some of the stars through the airwaves and on the big screen. Coming to you live from Hollywood, it's Rated G Radio with your host, Garrett Miller.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Rated G Radio. We're doing a very special early edition of the show today because, you know, we got things to do and places to go and people to see. And today we are lucky, folks, to have as a co-host, not a guest, so it's no holds barred hour with one of my favorite people in the world, Mr. Scott Fullerton. He's joining us today from Ohio. He hosts a very successful podcast, webcast, radio show. I'm not even sure what we call it anymore, but it's an extravaganza called Left of Straight. He's going to talk all about that and so much more. And so, Scott, welcome back to the show. How are you today?
I'm doing fantastic. How are you doing, Garrett?
I'm a little kind of like crazed and dazed and confused because I don't know. I don't know what's happened to me, Scott. I will tell you that my life has changed. There used to be a time that I could stay up until, you know, like 1, 2, 3 o'clock in the morning and get up at 6 right. And function perfectly the next day. And I even drank then. And so, you know, I haven't had a drink for three and a half years. And I will tell you, something has happened in the last 6, 8 months that, and if you're out there listening, cool kids, you know, tell me what your elixir is, because I will totally go to Costco and buy a 5-gallon drum of it. I cannot stay up past like midnight or 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, and then get up and have any resemblance of a normal day the following day. Last night, I went up to Hollywood for a birthday party for Mary Wilson of the Supremes, and had a great time. We can talk about that a little bit later. But by the time I got home, and then as I always do, if I'm going as a photographer, I get the pictures back to my client. If I'm going as a guest and I take pictures, I want to get them out just so I don't have to wake up and think about, okay, who was that again? And so I try to get everything done. I did not get to bed until after 2 o'clock this morning and slept very soundly until 8. Now I'm usually up by 6. So I overslept by 2 hours. And I've been on the phone nonstop with different folks today, and I never talk on the phone. And so I looked up and after my last phone call, Scott, and I said, I've got like 90 minutes before the show, and I've not done anything that I'd normally do in my day. I've got to at least get my cardio in. So I got a half an hour of cardio. I always do an hour. I got a half an hour in. I had some cabbage, which sounds, you know, oh so lovely, but I had cabbage, cucumber, and I think some celery with my spicy mustard. And then the last thing that I was able to do is take a shower so I wouldn't be sitting here stinky and making the show stink up a storm for the next hour. And I have so much to do. So anyhow, that's today. That's my day. So I'm still running around a little crazy and I've had 2 cups of coffee too. So I'm caffeinated as well. So what's going on in your world?
Well, it's kind of crazy like that too. I'm the same way anymore. I used to be able to do the same thing. I would go to bed at 1 or 2 in the morning. I would get up at 7 or 8 in the morning. And now I'm kind of getting up maybe by 8 to 9 in the morning. And I still go to bed between 1 and 2. I've always been a night owl, but it's a little crazy. I've been doing house renovation work. Actually, I've been supervising house renovation work. Let's not get carried away and say I've been doing it. But we have hired people to do it. Let's put it that way. Mom's got to be in her bodies. You know, I live with my mom. I moved in when my dad fell sick. So I've lived with my mom the past year and a half. And she has decided to redo the living room and the kitchen and the hallway upstairs with new paint and new carpeting and a little bit of new furniture. And so we've been having people come in at the crack of dawn to get this stuff started and trying to move stuff around. And it's just been a crazy couple of weeks here. And I'm still doing my regular thing, going to bed at 1 or 2 in the morning. And these people decide to come at 7:30 in the morning to get started. Oh. They want to get their day over with. And that's just not working for me.
No kidding. So I got a question. By the way, I need to send some shout outs to people who are listening live. We got Paul Emery, Mr. Paul in Mass, who's listening live in upstate New York. Thank you very much for tuning in. We've got Wesley in Arkansas. I've got Ken in Cerritos. We've got Julie, I think you're in Nashville, but I always get that. It's Nashville and then Memphis. So you're in one of those two cities. I know that. We've got Mark. Mark is listening from the UK. Thanks for tuning in early. And we've got Peter listening out of Vermont right now. So that's interesting. Okay, just shout outs to everybody. But what made you decide that, or what made Mom decide that she wanted to do some house renovations now?
Well, I think it was a couple of things. And actually, Paul in Mass was actually doing the same thing himself. I think he's redoing his house a bit too. So he knows the pain and struggle, but he's actually doing the work, I believe. I don't know. But ever since my mom's the kind of person where, you know, a lot of people will go and they'll change their furniture every couple of years to kind of give it a new look and move things around, do things like that. She's not that type of person. She's the type of person that once it sits there, it's going to sit there until she decides to change it. So it's been the same now for about 12 to 13 years. I think that they redid all this before. And now that dad's passed away, kind of gives her a little project or something to do. And she's so cute. She's so funny. It's like, dad didn't leave her super well off by any means, but she has some money to be comfortable, right? And so she's all, well, maybe if I do one room at a time or one room like this. And I looked at her, and I'm kind of helping with all her finances. Said, look, mother, you have a $10,000 U.S. savings bond that's going to mature in 2032. You will be 93 years old. How about we cash it in now? It's still worth $7,000. You put $5,000 money into it, and you can do your renovations now. So she got all excited about that, and she just hit the magazines the next day. So it's kind of been a fun little passion project for her, and she's got to pick out all the things that she's wanted to, and she's been bringing me around all over the place to different furniture places and things, but she's getting everything exactly how she wants, so it makes me happy for her.
So what kind of style is Mom going for this time?
Well, it's so interesting. She's usually primitive. The whole reason I moved back here is, you know, I'm from California originally. That's my mom. My dad's originally from here in Northeast Ohio. My mom's originally from Indiana. They both moved out to California when they were kids in high school. I think my mom was 11 and my dad was maybe 8. They met and married after high school. So we were all California kids. And my grandparents moved back to Ohio when they retired. And when they were getting their later years, my parents came and took care of them, and they inherited their house back here. So they had both the California house in Oxnard, California, and the house here in Northeast Ohio. And for some strange reason, they decided to move here because of all of the auctions. This place is huge with auctions and garage sales. You've never seen anything like it in your life, Garrett. They have, every time you turn around, there's at least 6 auction companies that have an auction every week. And you get all these fun, primitive kind of things. And you find these, so everyone collects everything from, they call them insulators that they put on telephone poles back in the day, little glass to glass to plates. And so she loves that kind of stuff, kind of the old primitive stuff. And she's got a couple of nice little antique pieces. She's got a Hoosier closet, which is a kitchen type thing. It's like a big, almost looks like a hutch, big kitchen deal that she found at auction. And that's one of her pride possessions that's in the kitchen there that she took out of the kitchen a while back. And she now repainting everything. She's putting it back in. She's pretty excited about that.
So, okay. So you just said that you come from the land of garage sales and my head hurts now, Scott. So do people have these sales and then are they just repurposing stuff that they've already bought at other garage sales? So they just, you know, it's kind of like this endless cycle. I bought the teacup or the teapot at the garage sale last year. Now I'm done with it. Now I'm going to resell it again. Is this just everybody, you know, passing the crap from one house to the next and then finally you get your crap back?
Well, it kind of happens. Like the funny thing that happens because they have so many auctions and everything, get there at the crack of dawn, you're not going to get any of the good things. They have all these auctioneers go to all these yard sales all over the place, and anything that's worth anything of value that you wouldn't have a clue about, they've bought at 6:30 in the morning. They're camping out in these people's front yards, helping them load the tables out and everything like that. But it is a big merry-go-round of a lot of you see the same so-called junk, like you say. You see the same toasters and woks. I think I've seen the same Chinese wok at the last 12 yard sales I've been to. I don't know.
So, okay, does this partially help explain what, because you're a California boy, so you'll know the answer to this. Does this help explain why everybody in the Midwest have these huge, huge, huge houses and everybody has basements? Is this so you can just store all the stuff that you get at auctions?
That's exactly right. I mean, it's crazy. And the funny thing about this whole move is now, because I moved in and I left all my stuff, my old apartment, I just sold all of my stuff from my old apartment when I moved in here, just so I could have some cash and to go in my savings because I knew I wouldn't be working for a while. And my parents have, it's basically a, I think it's 1,200 square feet house, not real big, maybe 11 to 1,200 square feet house on top. And then they have an entire finished basement. So it's almost 24,000, doubled, right, in square feet. And I live downstairs, the apartment downstairs, and it's, my mother is not one for leaving any space of wall untouched. If you can find wall space in any of her rooms, you've won a prize right then and there. I'm telling you this. So she has stuff everywhere. And I'm going to take some pictures and I'll send it to you of my little basement down here that was fully furnished when I got here. And I would say there's maybe, 20 square yards of wall space left on the walls down here.
Wow.
And but I get to graduate now, though, so I get her old she has all these old antiques down here that I'm on the antique couch, and I kind of am a little daintily down here, as a big guy like me can be, daintily going on all the furniture. But now we're going to bring the living room furniture down to the basement as she gets the new stuff, and I feel like one of those 11-year-old kids that get hand-me-down for their big brother. I get the hand-me-down furniture from upstairs now. So I'm excited.
When is your auction?
Exactly. It's time for me to go, I'm telling you. I'm ready to go. I got some good pieces for it, I'm telling you.
And you've got spring coming up. Now's the perfect time to auction off all your stuff.
Garrett, we got 77 degrees on Easter in Northeast Ohio.
What?
I was so excited. I'm telling you, it was warmer than California, I think, on Easter. I couldn't believe it.
Yeah.
Then it went
you
down to 43 yesterday.
But,
yeah, it went back down to 43 on Monday, of course. So everyone gets that's why everyone has a cold and flu here the entire spring. But it's kind of crazy.
So how do you stay healthy?
Well, I don't know if I would call myself the most healthy person. I keep myself active. That's why I'm very lucky. I mean, I'm a big guy. And the good thing is I have great health as far as all my numbers go. And it really pisses all my friends off, basically, because I have my sugar's never high. I don't have any trouble with the diabetes, which my mom has. I don't have any cholesterol problems. I don't have any of those things. I have no blood pressure. I've never taken any medication in my life, really. I took I had high blood pressure for a short minute, took a little bit of it, and then I started exercising more, and that went away immediately. So I've been really very, knock on wood, healthy that way. And so it's been very good. So I keep healthy just by doing a lot of moving around. I do like to try to keep active. I'm not the kind of person that can stay sitting around watching TV all day long, although I do record a lot of stuff. But I like to say I'm not as active as you. I can't go to LA every 3 days or 30 minutes or whatever it seems to be you are lately.
Well, you know, I think the mystique of my Facebook page is everybody says, oh my gosh, you're everywhere, everywhere, everywhere. And the truth of the matter is I really am not everywhere, everywhere, everywhere. I mean, there's days at a time where I don't leave the house, or it's not like I'm a shut-in. When I said I don't leave the house, that means I'm not getting in my car even to go to Sprouts and get some vegetables. I might walk down to the pier, or I'll go outside, because it is about 72 degrees here today. So I'll go outside and, lay in the sun and get a little bit of color. But it is surprising. People will say, oh my gosh, you're everywhere. I was like, I really am not. This week is an anomaly for me, as I had an event last night with Mary Wilson. And tonight I'm going up to an event with Terry Ray, who was on the show yesterday. Got some big fashion show thing, I think, with Out Magazine. So we're going to go up to that. I'm going as his guest. So we'll do that. So, and I'm not taking my camera. I said, because I will always say, is this a camera event where, I can go and take some pictures so I can look decent? Or are we just going to, stand around and look good? So we're just going around to stand around and look good tonight. But I think, a big misnomer, because I think people just get so excited the fact that I might get to stand next to somebody who's perceived to be famous, and then, suddenly I'm everywhere. So I wouldn't be jealous.
Well, there
Scott.
You go. You're becoming more famous by the day, I'm telling you. And Terry Ray, that was a great interview yesterday. I love Terry. I'm so excited for his new play.
So am I.
Has he let you? Has he got you to meet Lonnie Anderson yet? Did you actually go to his house when he was filming when Lonnie was there?
I didn't. I was friends with Terry on Facebook then, but not like, you know, hanging out friends. And so I met Lonnie briefly at the My Sister Is So Gay premiere at Flaming Saddles in West Hollywood a few months ago. And I've shared this story before, so it's not like this is going to be anything that is groundbreaking. But it really begs repeating. If there is a celebrity that is out there that needs to write a book about how to be your best celebrity self whenever you're in any public forum, I will tell you, I think Lonnie Anderson is really the person that would be an expert author at this, because she came in, and even though she had her entourage, she came in, was all smiles, and it was very clear, you know, when she walked in, she knew that all eyes were on her, and she knew that all eyes were on her the entire time she was there. So you never saw a frown, you never saw anything except a smile. All looks were engaged looks. So when they were broadcasting the episodes, because we got to watch all six episodes right there on the big screen, you know, she was there with a smile, looking very engaged, attentive, excited. When Terry and Wendy were up there speaking, or when Bert and Doug were up there speaking, again, she was just, you know, glued to them and could not have been more of a better celebrity. It was just so clear. And I was watching her really for the, okay, I want to see how she behaves, because it's, you know, sometimes you see people and, you know, they know when the camera's on, so they turn it on. And then when the camera's off, it's like,
right.
That's kind of like how I am. But Lonnie was on the entire time, and just mad props to her for being so fantastic. So,
and she still looks absolutely gorgeous. I mean,
I'm telling you,
just, oh my gosh.
I should probably Google how old she is, but there's no need to, because, you know, she was easily in her mid 20s, you know, late 20s when WKRP was being filmed, and I was in my early teens. And
right.
She looks like a million bucks. And it's not the million bucks. It's like, okay, you've had everything tucked and plucked and peeled and
done. No, she doesn't look like that at all.
In a bad way.
She might
so any work she's
like
had
that.
Done, she spent the good money on it, if she has
I
any
think
done.
So.
But she looks spectacular. And she's got about a size -3 waist and couldn't weigh more than, like, you know, 20 pounds. So, you know, she looks spectacular. I would say eat a cheeseburger, Lonnie, but, you know, she still wants to keep that figure.
Right. Well, I had Terry on my show for a while back too. And I told him the story that when I lived in California, me and a bunch of buddies, we all started doing this. Oh gosh, I don't remember what year it was, but we used to go Christmas caroling in Beverly Hills every Christmas. Right. And we were living in, I think, West Covina at the time. I started West Covina, I believe, when we started doing this. And we would get a whole group of us together, usually about 10 or 12 people. We get little candles. We go to Beverly Hills and just Christmas carol all these really nice houses. We'd kind of get the star maps and try to go to there. But we'd have a fun dinner afterwards. And every year we tried to go where her and Burt Reynolds lived up in Beverly Hills behind this great gated house. And
right.
We would knock on that gate every freaking Christmas. I got to tell you, Garrett, we wanted to talk to them so bad. And I really wanted to see her. You got to try to go for all the guys and see all the guys' houses. But I wanted to see Lonnie more than I wanted to see Bert at that time. It was hilarious. But it was so much fun. I actually got to sing to Lucille Ball at her house there once. It was an exciting time.
Get out! Okay, I don't even know if I know about that. You need to tell us that story, Scott.
It was amazing. She was, gosh, what's the name of her street now? I tried to find it when I went out there and visited in October, and I missed her street, and I can't find her old house. But she used to live right down the street, across the street from oh my goodness, what's George Clooney's aunt's name or whatever, the singer, Rosemary Clooney.
Oh, Rosemary Clooney.
She used to live catty corner from Rosemary Clooney and a couple doors down from Agnes Moorhead in Beverly Hills. And so we had this on the star. We knew it was true because it was on the stars map. And so we kind of trekked out our Christmas caroling one year to hit this street. And so we started at the corner and went down, and Lucille Ball had this, it's this great house, but it didn't have a gate. This street didn't have any gates on the front of it all. You could actually go up to the front doors on them. Now you couldn't get behind them. There was gates where the driveways were to get to where they parked and everything like that, and to get to the backyard, but you can actually go up to the front doors. So we went there and knocked on the front door, and she had, I don't know if they had a live-in. Her, she was living with Gary Morton, I think, was her husband at the time.
Yeah.
And she had a live-in person helping with her, I guess, that answered the door. We started doing her caroling, and so the girl that came to the door was listening to us, and all of a sudden we heard, "Hey, what are you guys doing down there?" And she had this little window above her front porch, and she opened up the windows to this little window and looked outside, was peering down at us singing Christmas carols. And we all just about dropped our, well, the sad thing was we actually spilled candle wax all over her front brick steps, but because we were so nervous and so excited, we're all sitting, and we forgot to buy the one year we forgot to buy the dripless candles or the waxless candles, and we did, we had wax all over her brick. It was so funny. But she came down, she overlooked that, she didn't come downstairs, but she opened up the window and Gary came out and the two of them got in their window. And this was before cell phones, unfortunately, so I couldn't take a picture. We never took pictures when we were there. We just was out there. And it was the most magical time ever. And we sang to Rosemary Clooney's nephew or something, which wasn't George Clooney. I don't know if she has another something. And we also got to sing to Agnes Moorehead. It was crazy.
That is wild. Hey, Scott, real quick, we're going to take a call. We've got somebody calling in, and I dare say I know who it is. But welcome to Rated G Radio Caller. Go ahead, please. You're live with Scott Fullerton.
Heidi ho, boys.
How are you, Paul?
Is that our favorite Paul Emery, the Paul in Mass? How we doing, buddy?
Wonderful, wonderful. I was chatting in the chat room. I said, you know what, I might as well just give them a buzz. And first of all, Garrett, you and Lonnie Anderson have a lot in common as far as you really know how to command a room. And you know what you're doing when you're doing it. No, I know this about you. And, Scott, I got a question for you, and it doesn't have anything to do with house repairs or anything like that.
There we go off topic, Paul.
Well, no, I know that he's expanding leftist right radio,
yeah.
And I know that he's got a lot of things in the works, like behind the scenes, but is there anything that he can talk about today as far as, you know, something new coming up, or who do you have coming on the show this week, next week? Tell us something new, something that we don't know and we haven't seen on a meme on Twitter.
Well, things that I haven't told too many about, I am trying to expand and turn into left of straight radio, where I've, like I said, you guys all know that Garrett's been a hero of mine and a mentor ever since I started this. And I love that he does this 1 hour a show a day, 5 days a week. And now he's added Paul here with Super Gay Radio, which you guys both do a fantastic job at. And so I've been kind of trying to see what I want to do a little bit differently. And I started my second type of show. My first show, Left of Straight Show, has always been all about me. It's fun stuff. It's entertainment. It's foodies. It's books. Talking to people I admire, people I would love to just hang out with, or people that I love seeing on the screen or read about. So then I started on a Thursday show with my good buddy Kevin Hogan, co-host with me, and we started a little more serious, all about healing stigma. There's so much stigma in the LGBT community and even the straight community regarding health issues, weight issues, HIV, AIDS, mental health. And there's just so many things. So we try to take a serious bent on it, talking to different kind of guests in those veins that give you ways, or just talking to artists that help heal through arts and everything. And it's been a real fun experience. So I thought I was going to try to expand the radio show, and I have two shows for sure coming on. Starting in April, I have a very good friend of mine, Liz Rubino. She's a great actress and singer. She's one of the featured singers in the Cosmopolitan Room in New York, and she also does acting classes out here in Northeast Ohio. And she actually graduated from New York University as a drama therapist. And she is going to start a show on Wednesday nights, I believe in April, called Off the Couch. Basically getting off the couch and using therapy through drama. And she's going to be talking about fun ways and fun drama techniques or fun techniques to help get yourself motivated and back into a more happy place, because drama kind of, as you guys know, being Garrick being a singer and Paul with all of your creativity that you've had, that creative juices actually just pushes out that positivity. You just, the more you're creative, the more positivity you radiate. And so she's going to start a show on Wednesdays, and then on Sundays I'm going to have an excellent trans activist out here out of Columbus, Ohio, that's going to start a show and kind of give from the trans point of view. Also, they're friends with a lot of drag queens, a lot of fun drag queens on, and doing some live performances over the mic on Sundays. And so that's a start. We're starting out and expanding a little bit. We're trying to get, I don't know if we're going to hit Garrick 6 days a week soon, but we're going to start moving it. We have a new website being built right now.
Scott, that is not exciting a goal you should aim for, let me tell you.
Well, anything you do, I'm excited about, Garrett. So
I'm
just doing little steps. I'm not going to be doing the writing of the books and the singing of the songs, but I got everything else going.
Fair enough. Well,
yeah,
I am excited to hear all this. This is awesome. Paul, I mean, our little Scott is growing up.
I know. No, I think it's fantastic. They sound wonderful. I got to correct you on something. I share very, very, very little positive creativity. I spent 12 years being the negative creativist, and I enjoy that moniker. But creativity is creativity.
There you go.
So thanks so much, guys. I'm so thrilled to talk to both of you. I never get to hear Garrett live because he's so friggin' late at night. Also, with these sleeping issues, he might be moving up a little bit.
There you go.
Hey,
who knows,
huh? Real quick before you go, you actually host a website of Adult Nature. Do you want to give anybody a shout-out to anybody who has not followed your other venture?
21 and over can visit paulinmass, all one word, .tumblr.com. If you don't know how to spell Tumblr, you don't belong there. So, but hop on over. I'm reaching 7 million views in the next couple of weeks. And we've got a great show coming up on Saturday.
Cool.
So,
well, okay, so we got you here. We might as well promo, because it's promo day on the show. So, yay!
Promo day.
So who do we have coming up on Saturday morning?
Saturday morning, we have Ms. Viola. Frank is going to be calling in with RuPaul Roundup at 11:10. And then at 11:30, we've got comedian Adam Sank for about 20-minute interview on he just dropped an album this year, his first comedy album, and he walks in the New York AIDS Walk every year, and so he's trying to raise some money for that. But he's funny. He's on John Fugelsang regularly. He's a SiriusXM regular and goes all over the country and does shows. And I've been another person that I've been sexually harassing for 12 years is going to come on and take it from me on the air.
There you go. Well, Adam's awesome. I've been following him. You know, I found out about Adam when he was on the SiriusXM shows, and so I've followed him and enjoyed his humor over the years. He's quite funny, and I love when he used to co-host with Derek when Roman Maimon would be out, or vice versa. And I'm telling you, the man is just on it.
Oh, he knows what radio is. He knows how to do radio, so he's going to be a great interview. It's going to be a lot of fun, and I just want to thank both of you for this little quick menage, and
yay!
I'll be talking to you all soon.
Thanks, Paul. Have a great afternoon.
Hey, Paul, there's a such thing as dry ice, so if there's any meatloaf left over, send it my way, okay?
I sure will, but there never is.
Thanks, Paul. Talk to you later. Oh my gosh, what a character. I love Paul. He, you know, and it's the beauty of social media brings people together. And as crazy as that might sound to people who are out there listening, Scott's a prime example of somebody I'd never have met if it wasn't for Facebook. Same with Paul. And what an interesting, you know, friendship we've had over the years. So it's great to be able to connect with him. And now we're doing something creatively together. Scott, and I love visiting with you. I know we don't, you know, it's this giant love fest and mutual admiration society and all that good stuff, but it really is true. It's just, it brings people together in some of the strangest ways. So that was cool to have him call in.
Well, these are the fun shows you just get to chat with. Like I said, we usually have agendas on our shows. So not an agenda, so to speak, but we always have guests that we're trying to help promote their agendas.
Right, right.
It's kind of fun. We can just let loose with friends and have a good old chit-chat time. If you're not in the chat room, you got to join our chat rooms because there are a lot of fun, a lot of things going there with the different people pop in and out. And Paul and I were just talking about that. These chit-chat phones shows are just so much fun because you can talk about pop culture and fun things and stupid things like yard sales like that and just have a blast connecting with your audience. So I love it.
Well, it's one of the, again, you know, it's a catch 22 because I love having my guests on and I love promoting whatever it is they're doing. You know how it works,
but
I love being
able
to have the current event shows, which are really few and far between. And so having, you know, you come on and just being able to, you know, shoot the baloney is so much fun. And Paul and I kind of do that on Saturdays, but you know, one of the things that I find that Rob and I do on Rated LGBT Radio on Thursdays is we really thought, honestly, you know, we just thought, well, you know, it's just going to be Rob and I talking about, you know, Rob's articles and trying to find news articles to talk about so we can have a current event show. And maybe once in a while, somebody would want to be a guest. And, you know, it's super fantastic and lucky. But, you know, we're booked weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks out for the show. I mean, I'm going through and even right now, I mean, I'm booked clear out to the end of May for Thursday spots. And, you know, how fantastic is that? It's just crazy. So
it's a great problem to have. Like I said, I started doing that, you know, in January. I'm kind of in the same thing where I'm trying to book out now at least a month in advance. I don't know if I try to stay kind of into that just to make sure I'm trying to keep what's local on the radar of what's going on.
Right, yeah.
And you have a lot of the same great guests come back, and they always have really cool, new, exciting things they're doing. And I don't know the people you know, so I kind of am trying to keep my little ear to the grindstone and seeing what's happening here to get cool stuff. But it's so much fun when you have these things ahead of time, you can promote them and have a lot of fun. And they're just so much for me. Like I said, I kind of do mine more towards the LGBT bent, and there's so many things happening in the community right now. Election season makes things really interesting, obviously. And ever since marriage equality passed last year, states are just going absolutely crazy. So that's always fun to talk about. And there's so many LGBT activists doing so many good things about it all that you're never going to run out of good guests. And the internet world is going crazy with all the new web series and everyone kind of taking their own life in their hands, so to speak, as far as making their own web series and songs and things. It's just crazy.
So, well, let's talk about some current events then. Would this be a good, by the way, before we do that, let's give some shout outs to shows that we love. So Scott, what are some of the radio shows that you're listening to that you just can't live without?
Well, you and I've kind of followed your step. I try to listen to you at least every Thursday, if not a couple extra days a week when you have Rob on. I love listening to Rob's show on Saturday nights and out in Santa Cruz. Paul, Saturday morning, I always have something going on. So I listen to you guys recorded Saturday morning shows, the podcast. Then I really enjoy a lot of the UBN shows. I have one of my own shows on UBN, and I love listening to Emerson Collins and Del Shores. They do a great news and topical show every Wednesday at 6 o'clock. It's actually, I guess, at 3 o'clock their time. I love listening to Ann Walker and Scott Nevins. They're on 9 o'clock on Wednesdays, which is, I guess, 6 o'clock Pacific time. They do some great LGBT things. Derek and Romaine, I'm listening to the repeats of. I haven't subscribed. You've been a bad boy on that because I never had Sirius, so I never was like an early adopter. Everyone's talking about them so much. I'm starting to catch up on everything and loving Derek and Romaine recently. And then I love Alexander on the Rocks on Thursday. He does old Hollywood. Alexander does a lot of the old Hollywood people. He had Shirley Jones on his show and all these great people. So those are who I like to listen. I like to listen to entertainment and LGBT fun news articles.
Well, I mean, you're not going to go wrong there at all. And of course, you know, since we're giving complimentary mad shout outs today, of course, Derek and Romaine, I will tell you, I love Derek and Romaine. I don't get to listen as often as I like, even with the replay. My life is just kind of crazy. So if I'm able to tune in once or twice a week, and that's when I have, you know, when I have nothing else going on, I can just click and do that. Here's the, and it's not something I don't like. It's because I like it so much. Here's the problem that I have with Derek and Romaine is that if I say, well, I'm just going to put DNR on and listen while I'm doing something else, my something else never gets done because I'm enjoying
right.
listening to their programs so much. So, you know, there are some shows you can kind of put on autopilot and you can go wash the clothes and you come back and they're what, when you're listening to Derek and Romaine, either them bantering back and forth, or you got ADD Jeff, or you've got their callers calling in, it's so engaging and so much fun that you just kind of like, oh, whatever I was working on that was bleeding out the eyeballs, that can wait. Somebody could call 911 for that because I'm listening to Derek and Romaine. So obviously I listen to that. It's a subscription-based service. It's like $6 a month or it's $20 for 3 months or however it works out. It's like 33 cents an hour. So it's really a spectacular deal. And I'm all for paying to get good content. So if
exactly.
you want to have good content, you know, you got to pony up, and I'll have a story for that in just a second. I listen to your show as often as I can, and honestly, Scott, you know, now that you're broadcasting so much, I don't get a chance to listen to you as often as I like. So if I'm able to catch your show once a week, and you know, whether it's here or there or anywhere else, I plug in for as long as I can listen. I'm also listening to Out in Santa Cruz with our friend Rob Watson. When you know, he's my co-host on Thursday night, but he and Steph do a great show on outinsantacruz.com, 7 p.m. Pacific time on Saturdays. And they tend to be a little bit more on the serious side. And I respect that a lot because if I, you know, that's just not me. Even when I have serious guests on, I still want to have more of a lighthearted approach to whatever we're going to talk about. So if we want to talk about, you know, euthanasia or helping, you know, assisted suicides or the political conventions and things like that, boy, I'm just not the person to, you know, be talking to because that's just not my thing. Rob and Steph do great jobs handling all the serious topics.
Yeah, they do.
But, you know, I think also one of the other challenges is because now, as I think when OutQ is out on Sirius, and I listened to that for, you know, since 2006 when my Honda Accord ended up getting XM radio. That was the only outlet I knew of at the time. And, you know, then I started like my show and I started, you know, with like five listeners and it was, you know, my dad and, you know, four people that I worked with that, you know, were taking pity upon me and listening. And then, it, you know, grew from there. But I thought, you know, there's nobody else out there. There's no other shows. There's nothing. And I think the demise of OutQ really has been a great thing for a lot of reasons, because now there is such a demand and a craving for good content that, you know, we're going, where is it? And now through, you know, the fantastic thing of Facebook or Twitter or Instagram, we are finding great content that is engaging and interesting to listen to. And you have choices, you know, if you just want all comedy, you want all talk, you want music, you want whatever, there's a little something for everybody. And it's not as hard to find as a lot of people would have thought 3 months ago or 4 months ago. 4 months ago, if you said, well, OutQ is gone and we're not going to have a chance to listen to anything else, we would have riots. And we kind of had riots when OutQ went off the air. Now you say, okay, well, we don't have that. What do we have? And you just put a comment out. Okay, anybody, I haven't listened to, you know, the radio for a little bit. You know, what can I listen to today? And you're going to have 20 people come back with 20 different shows. Or, oh, I listened to that one too. That's a great show. So it's one of those things that the community, as quote unquote isolated as it appeared to be, really is not. And I think that we're finding a lot of people coming together and shining the light on different programming that's out there that's interesting to all of us.
Right.
Quite frankly, you know, there are going to be some shows that I'm just not interested in either the host or the topic or the theme or the whatever. And that's okay, because if I don't like that, then there's probably going to be a Left of Straight show that I can't wait to listen to, or Derek and Romaine, or, you know, whatever. And you're going to find those niches that we thought just weren't there. And now it's even easier because, you know, we can just click on the internet and here we go. If we didn't have a Sirius XM radio, like, you know, you said you didn't, Scott, you didn't have a subscription, you had no clue who we're talking about. And now, you know, through the grace of the internet, we've got Derek and Romaine live at 2 o'clock Pacific time, Monday through Friday. So, you know, right after this, you can click and listen to DNR at DerekandRomaine.com. And, you know, now we have such a new commonality that we can talk about and enjoy and you know, make fun of or be part of and join a community that's growing. So I'm excited for it. So that's our little 5 minute soapbox on.
Paul pointed out in the chat room too. I think Derek and Maine's going to do a free one too for people that haven't got into it. I think on April, I think he had it in here.
It's like
April
15th through the 17th.
Or the 17th. Yeah. So that's a great way too.
They're no dummies. You know, I have talked with, you know, both of them off air, and they've got great plans on how they're building their empire. But the thing that I really respect most about how they're approaching it is they want to be smart about every decision that they make. And so it's not just like, okay, well, we're going to have this big media empire, and so we're just going to jump in with both feet. And, you know, we haven't really thought it through, and we haven't thought about budgets or equipment or personalities. They are taking it slow, and they're doing everything. If there was a book to be by, they would be doing it by the book. But I think you're going to see great things coming from that empire as the year continues to grow. And, you know, they'll be having other announcements. But doing free things like a free listener weekend on the 15th through the 17th is super smart, because you're going to get these people
right.
who have been fence sitters and forgot how much they love Derek and Romaine. And then they'll hear it and go, like, oh, my God, what have I been thinking? I totally need to sign up. You know,
right. And the great thing is, like you said, there's so much going on now with the podcast. And because of the demise, I think, of OutQ, I've learned so much. Paul and I talked about it. Paul actually sent me a great link less than a week ago about a new show called Feast of Fun that I started listening to. I wanted to give them a quick shout out, too. There's so many great shows on there. And you can, like you said, pick and choose. You don't always have time to watch either a full episode or every day of the week, but there's just always such great stuff on there, and you can always have it on demand on your fingertips now. It's just fantastic.
So there we go, folks. So if you need some recommendations and you forgot what we talked about, number one, listen to the replay. Then you can fast forward and rewind 1,000 different times. But you can also get in contact with Scott or myself, and we'll be happy to give you, you know, some direction on where to go to find other programming outside of our shows. Because, of course, our programming is must-listen radio, and then everything else, you know, it's just, you know, out there for us. Scott, we've got 19 minutes left in the show, which really means about 15 minutes. Have you heard about the William Shatner paternity lawsuit?
No, I have not heard that one. What is that all about? Talk to me.
This is very interesting, because it's clear somebody just needs to cash a check. This is off of CNN Today, Entertainment News. William Shatner is hit with a $170 million paternity suit. Now, get this, because it's just classic. So William Shatner is being sued for $170 million by a Florida-based radio host. Is this going to give us any ideas? Who claimed that the Star Trek actor is the father. Peter Sloan, who now goes by the name Peter Shatner, says the actor had an affair with his birth mother in 1956. Now, Shatner, of course, denies that Sloan is his son. Sloan's 59 and was given up for adoption shortly after his birth in 1984. He went out to go find his parents. Oh, and this is a quote. Over the months that followed through a process of research and verification, Peter was able to identify his birth father as Canadian-born William Shatner, according to petershatner.com, a website registered by Sloan. The lawsuit states in a PDF format here that Sloan met Shatner in November of 1984 on the set of his TV series T.J. Hooker. At the meeting, the lawsuit says Shatner, quote unquote, admitted that he was Sloan's father, but when Sloan followed up with a phone call days later, Shatner became agitated and hung up the phone. So the long and short of it is that Sloan established petershatner.com in 2009, started a radio show in Tampa as Peter Shatner, and an attorney for William Shatner then contacted Sloan and told him that Shatner has confirmed, quote unquote, confirmed to you once again that he is not your father. Now, Sloan alleges that Shatner's social media director posted malicious, libelous, and slanderous statements about the plaintiff, that's Sloan, on Facebook and Twitter. He also says Twitter and IMDb Pro have shut down accounts related to him. Now, here's where the money comes in. This is giving me all kinds of ideas, Scott. I don't know about you, but I'm trying to think who could have been my parent. Sloan is seeking $30 million in compensatory damages, $90 million in punitive damages, and $50 million for pain and suffering. He is also demanding a jury trial. So,
oh, my goodness.
You know, the sad part about this is it makes me think this moron or he could, maybe he's a smart guy for, you know, doing this. You know, he's going to get some type of a check just to make the guy go away so it doesn't get drug out in court. So, you know, maybe the guy can go buy a condo in Boca and then he's got his retirement place set up. I don't know. But this, that just really kind of chaps my hiney that this guy thinks that he's going to go out and sell, you know, sue anybody for $170 million when it's clear, you know, at least from reading this, and this is one slant to the story, the guy just wants a check because he just thinks he can get one.
Yeah, I think stuff like that is crazy. I mean, and unfortunately, it seems that so many people that have the money that just don't want to have to deal with the issue, they will pay them the money to go away. They'll won't ever admit to liability, quote unquote, but they will pay the person off just like that. You have that one going. I know Elton John's getting sued for groping a bodyguard and his nipples supposedly and everything, and the same thing. It's just like, seriously, I mean, he's asking for millions of dollars for.
It's
silly thing,
you know, and for anybody who has been legitimately harassed or anything, you know, my conversation today, and I'm sure Scott, I can't speak for you. You know, we're not talking about people who have had legitimate, real, you know, horrific things happen to them. For that, you know, those people need to be punished. But for somebody to say, you're denying that you're my father and you made a statement on Facebook saying that you're not my father and now I need $170 million, that offends me.
Yes, exactly. I agree.
I don't know.
I mean, it's just know. Like you said, there's so many legitimate examples out there of things that are really bad going on. And then you have people like this that, oh, it happened 15 years ago and it's after I got fired for doing this and now I decide I'm going to go ahead and sue for this. And
right.
Like, make things
really
up. It's just horrible.
I don't know. So what's happening in the world of Ohio that you really are excited about right now?
Well, Northeast Ohio, like I said, spring is actually springing here, so that's always nice. We have a great time. I don't know if you're an amusement park person. I mean, you live in Disneyland's back door pretty much, but we have an amusement park here called Cedar Point that is one of the best roller coaster places in the country. And
really?
They have everything from the old-fashioned wooden roller coasters to they put a brand new one up every year, and it has a water park, and it's right on Lake Erie, so it has a beachfront property as well. So I'm looking forward to the big opening of Cedar Point in the next couple weeks.
Okay. I struggle with this here because you're in Ohio and you have a water park. How do you have a water park where people actually want to put a bathing suit on and then go outside and then be in like ice cold water? Do they heat the water? Is this, I mean, how does this work?
It gets to be summer in Ohio. We get all the way up to like 85 and 90 degrees, sometimes
well, nice.
Up to 100.
Okay.
So
well,
in
guess,
the summertime
yeah.
we get it. So yeah, it's only open in the summertime too. They close up on the, they're sort of like, they stop at, Halloween. They do like a, you know, you have the Not Scary Farm out there. We have the Halloween type parks for Cedar Point and things like that. But our amusement parks will close down at Halloween and won't open again until Memorial Day. So we get away from that there. We don't have the year round fun.
And you wouldn't want the year-round. You know, the Disney thing is just absolutely crazy, and it never ceases to amaze me that. Anytime, and by the way, I've never been inside the park. Well, I say never been. The last time I was in the park was when I was probably like five, definitely not six yet, because it was before I went into the first grade. So that was the last time I was at Disneyland.
You're kidding.
But anytime that I have friends that want to meet who are, you know, in the area, it's usually at Downtown Disney. Downtown Disney, for anybody who's not in the area, is an outside of the park. Kind of like an outdoor mall. You have some shopping. You've got tons of restaurants. You've got a movie theater. You've got stuff to do. So if you just need a break from the park, you can get outside of the park and still be swarmed by a trillion people. So it never ceases to amaze me here, Scott. So I was out. Well, I actually went to go see Derek at Mini Gay Days a few weeks ago on a Friday night. It was after my show. So, you know, I'm leaving the house at like 9:45 p.m. So I get to the hotel where they're having this big reception. And the hotel says, oh, there's no public parking here unless you'd like to valet your car for $28. And I said, I'm going to be here for a photo op, and I'm going to be here for maybe a half an hour. He says, sir, I'm sorry, you'll have to leave. So I went, thank you very much. I'm not going to pay $28. So he says, well, you can go, you know, kind of across the street, you know, through the river, you know, into the woods, the grandmother's house we go, and there's a, you know, parking garage. He said, and that's only $18. You know, like, that's any better. So I drove, I don't know, four or five blocks up, parked at Downtown Disney. And as I'm parking at Downtown Disney at now 10:30 at night, the park still has people coming into the park with kids in baby carriages. And so you've got infants, toddlers, kids who should have been in bed ages ago. And, you know, their parents are just bringing them in. And I'm like, this is just the dumbest thing I've ever seen. And this is, it doesn't matter what day of the week, what time of the year, anything. It's always like that at Downtown Disney. So, you know, Disney's cashing these huge monster checks, and God bless them for coming up with a business model like that, that has people so thrilled to take their kids when they should be in bed 6 hours ago and be, you know, dragging them through an amusement park. So you can say, well, we took the kids to Disney. No, you took yourself to Disneyland and you brought your poor kids along, because you really should have stayed home with a babysitter, but you couldn't afford one because you spent all your money on your Disney tickets. But it's just crazy. So I think that you have a good model there, but unfortunately it's weather related, where you have the park open, you know, what, 4 months, 5 months of the year, and then the rest of the time it's shut down. So then I don't know.
Well, I was, like I said, I lived in Anaheim actually for a couple of years, and I was Disneyland's in my backyard. You could actually see the Matterhorn from my backyard where I was living on Lemon Avenue in Anaheim. And it was a lot of fun. Back then, this is not that I hate to say how old I am always, but this was at a time when, when was it? It had to be, we'll say 25 years ago. And you can get a season pass for Disneyland that included parking for $75 a year if you lived in Anaheim.
No.
Yes. And my brother is a big geek. Him and I are big comic book geeks and fantasy geeks and stuff like that. He bought his pass. It's $2,000 now.
Pass. I mean, they raised – oh, my gosh. Okay, so can you help answer me this? Because I've never understood this. People – there are people that have this annual pass. Now, for me, if I had an annual pass, number one, I can't even, that's so out of the realm of ever happening, because I have no interest in doing it whatsoever. But if I had an annual pass, I would think maybe at most I would go maybe once a month. Or if I had, you know, friends or family that came into town that wanted to go to Disney, so I wouldn't have to pay the, you know, $7 trillion to get in every time. But there are a lot of people, we're not talking one or two, we're talking thousands upon thousands of people who have these annual passes, and they will go several times a month, maybe even two or three times a week. I do not understand what it is people get out of that. Do you have any, I mean, because you kind of have the flavor for it, but can you tell me what it is about Disney that just really is this huge draw for people to go all the time?
Well, for quasi-local, I honestly do, especially, I mean, like I said, there's so much to do in the park now, and like you talked about the outside of the park, I always used to love to go for the rides, obviously, when I was a kid in Disneyland, but after I graduated high school, we would always go to the hotel, because they have a little lake in the middle of the hotel and paddle boats, and they had Klondike Kate Saloon with a fun thing, but when you have these passes, you can go in, and let's say you have, for just a date night, if you want to go in and watch the Main Street Electrical Parade, you don't go to on any of the rides. You just go park. You get a free parking pass included. You go in. You watch the parade. You walk up and down Main Street. Buy yourself a little orange slushy from the Orange Julius or something. If you have friends that collect Disney, it's a great way to go do Christmas shopping and stuff. So I used it for a lot of ways that way when I had mine. But you're right. You really can't. You don't want to spend all the time on the rides, and it does just get so horribly busy. One of the things I did when I lived in Anaheim was I was a program director for the Anaheim YMCA, and I oversaw their childcare. And we would take the kids on summer break to Disneyland every year, and it was the worst day of my life
every
year.
Right?
And there were so many times where you would lose one kid, and I'd find one of my other counselors' kid. We would trade off about five kids a trip. because someone was always losing one kid, and you end up finding the other lost and found. And it was it's horrible. You walk through, you're going past Pirates of the Caribbean with 10 kids, and the next thing you know, you get on the other side of the line with 9 kids, and it's a horrible thing.
See, if I would be a bad parent. I make no bones about it. I'd be the worst parent in the world because I would have every single kid on one of those kid leashes. So, you know, you're not getting away. And, you know, like a big dog walker.
I want to go to your – you got Universal now opening their Harry Potter Wizarding World. I mean, I would – oh, my gosh. I want to go to that so bad I could taste it. All of my Facebook friends and people in the Hollywood realm that are going to previews of the park. It doesn't open, I think, for another week. But everyone's going to get a little previews of Wizarding World at Universal Studios Hollywood. It's like, gosh, I want to go to that so bad.
I've had friends that have actually got in for the preview. And again, I'm totally not a Harry Potter person. So, you know, I haven't read the books. I think I saw the first two movies, maybe the third, I don't know. And it was fine, but it just wasn't anything that excited me any longer. So I'm not sure why I'm so cold and jaded about fantastic entertainment like Disney or Harry Potter, but I am. But I've had friends that have gone to the Universal thing and they said, holy cow, this is the most amazing, spectacular, state-of-the-art experience you are ever going to have. And these are people that are really hardcore to impress, and they're way impressed.
That's what I've heard. I've heard it's taken up a great deal of the park. Just a story for another time, just so you know. When I was living in West Covina there, David Hasselhoff came and filmed Knight Rider in my town. And I got to be an extra on one of the episodes. And he gave all of us extras. There was like 5 of us that were extras for every day of the filming. And he gave us all passes to go in the back lot of Universal Studios and eat in the studio commissary. And I was an 18-year-old kid that was just so amazed by that. And I would sneak lot, or I'd get into the back lot, but I'd sneak and walk around the back lot like I own the place. And that's a story for another day, my friend. I'll give you that one.
That's the teaser. So, okay.
That's
so
the teaser. We'll leave you with a teaser.
I think this is starting to become like a weekly thing. So in my 4 years of doing this, you know, we wrap up the guest in a pretty little bow, and then we just say, you know, thank you for, we'll have you on next time. So last week, so I'm lumping you into this category now, Scott. So last week I had Charmin McGraw on, and she was talking about pituitary tumors. It was like the weirdest topic ever. And the show is going great. The show is going fantastic. We're cruising through the hour, and we get to pretty much about a minute before the show's over. And I said, and she's getting to like the crux. It's like the Dynasty cliffhanger of the season type of the thing. And she gets to the point, and I said, Charmin, I hate to do this. I said, because even I want to know, but I said, don't tell me, but we're out of time. And then with that, the show ended. And so I called her right after. I said, don't tell me, but you know, I need to have you back so you can tell the story again, and we'll just type it up. So I don't know what, I mean, obviously she lived, but this was several years ago, but the story was like, oh my God, I can't believe this. And so now you're going to tell us about David Hasselhoff and your Knight Rider experience, and we have to wait until we get you back next time. So again, don't tell me what happened.
On the next Garrett Miller, talking about the Hoff in a week or so here, whenever we get back.
Gosh. That is absolutely crazy. Scott, I don't know how it happens because I have so much fun doing this with the guests that are on. And I love the fact that we just talked about whatever today. That was so much fun. I want to have you back. So again, can I have you back? And I'll be looking at my calendar and I'll be like, okay, my first available date is, and I'm looking right now, it's like Monday, like July 25th or Tuesday, August 2nd. So it's going to be some time. So we got some time, but I can't wait to have you back. And I'm a big fan of your show. Plug where people can find you one more time, and then we're going to sign off for the day.
You can go to leftandstraight.com and find everything there. I'm on every Monday, Tuesday, and Thursday nights, and it's all right there on the website.
That's easy. Scott, thank you, my friend. Have a great day. I appreciate you so much.
Always love talking to you. Thanks so much for being a great mentor, and you have a fantastic night tonight with Terry. Give him my love, and watch all the fun guys in underwear.
Something like that. Thanks, Scott. Have a good day. For everybody else, again, a reminder, tomorrow night we're back live with Rated LGBT Radio with my co-host, Rob Watson. We're welcoming Terrence Moss. Thursday night, we are having the Friday Night Dance Party starring Charles Wright. He's going to be talking about his brand new album. It's actually going to be a world premiere. We're very excited and honored that he's chosen the show to showcase his new music. That's hour number one. Hour number two, DJ Grant Smith. He plays at Rage in West Hollywood every Sunday night starting at 4 p.m. Encourage you to head on out and listen to some disco tunes. So he's got a disco-inspired set that he is sharing with people. He'll be back. He's going to be on this Friday night and the, let's see here, he'll be back the April 15th show as well. And, of course, Saturday morning, Super Gay Radio with my friend and co-host, Mr. Paul Emery. We've got Frank, who is Miss Viola, and then Adam Sank. I can't believe it. We are getting awesome people to be on the show. If you like the show, follow it. If you love the show, there's a link on iTunes for Rated G Radio. You can download all 800-plus episodes and take me on the road with you. With that, don't drive distracted. Follow the show. Tell your friends to tune in. And I thank you for letting us do this 6 days a week.
You've been listening to Rated G Radio.